players being released as well. And of course, I'll talk the bold takes at the end of the show. A loaded bold takes for you. As again, I clean some stuff up after a few days off. A very much needed vacation. But let's get right into it here at the top of the hour, talking some Sox. Unfortunately. Yes, we are. We're talking some Sox, unfortunately, because, I mean, it's not... It's not even the start of the regular season, and it's just been all bad news for the Boston Red Sox. For lack of better words, it's just been really all bad news. So today it was announced via Jeff Passan of ESPN that Red Sox starter Lucas Giolito, who they signed in the offseason, has a partially torn UCL and flexor strain and could miss the whole entire 2024 season. Giolito signed a two-year deal with the Sox, and it is very possible that he will need elbow surgery to repair that damage in his right elbow. So, the Red Sox this season will pay Chris Sale and Lucas Giolito a total of $36.25 million, and neither one of them will take the mound for the Boston Red Sox this season. Yeah! Yep, that is a true stat there. The Red Sox rotation now as it sits, you're looking at Brian Bello as your number one starter, followed by Nick Pivetta. Nick Pivetta spent a lot of time in the bullpen last year. Cutter Crawford also spent a lot of time in the bullpen. Garrett Whitlock also spent a lot of time in the bullpen. And stop me if you've heard this before, Tanner Houck rounding out that starting rotation. He also spent some time in the bullpen. So borderline relievers make up the 2, 3, 4, and 5 spots in the Red Sox rotation. Other possible candidates are Winkowski and Cooper Criswell, who is a serious option to round out that rotation. Cooper Criswell spent some time with Tampa Bay last year. He is in his first year in a Red Sox uniform. And what was a very sad and pathetic rotation just got a whole lot more sad and pathetic. So good news for the Red Sox. And on top of that, I mean, Lucas Giolito, probably some of this had to be attributed to that elbow soreness he was dealing with, but he didn't look good in spring training either. So looking pretty bleak for the Boston Red Sox right now. Meanwhile, Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery remain free agents. Their agent, Scott Boras, talked about it, and he said, "There's a pitching panic going on in baseball right now. We've got so many starting pitchers that are now compromised, maybe short-term, maybe some long-term, but the calls for elite starters are starting to increase." He said, "With many clubs right now, because of the pitching issue, the competitiveness of their season is at risk." And that is certainly the case, because the Boston Red Sox are not the only team dealing with some pitching issues. St. Louis Cardinals announced this week that their ace, Sonny Gray, could miss opening day due to a hamstring issue that he sustained in spring training. Obviously, he signed with the St. Louis Cardinals in the offseason after coming off a great year with the Minnesota Twins, but they don't know right now if he will be good to go to start the season. As for another ace, Justin Verlander will begin the season on the injured list. He will not start opening day. He's dealing with right shoulder inflammation. That is never good when you're already dealing with a swollen shoulder this early in the season. And on top of that, he's 41 years old. So that certainly doesn't help. But there are already some pitching issues. I already talked about Cody Senga of the New York Mets already dealing with some issues and a handful of others. So there is pitching issues already coming about. And we're not even at the start of the season yet. And yet still two of the big free agent starters are still out there on the market. Jordan Montgomery and reigning NL Cy Young Blake Snell have yet to be signed. Both of them, Scott Boras represented. As for another big-name pitcher, Zach Wheeler this weekend of the Philadelphia Phillies signed a big old fat extension with Philly. He agreed to a three-year, $126 million extension. That is the highest annual salary for any contract extension ever. Ever. Zach Wheeler, the 33-year-old right-hander last year went 13-6 with the squad with a 3.61 ERA and 212 strikeouts. That is ninth in the MLB last year. He always has been and was last year as well been sensational in the playoffs. That is one thing about Zach Wheeler where you could argue that, okay, maybe he hasn't been the most dominant pitcher in the MLB in the regular season, but his postseason success kind of speaks for itself. He has been sensational. So they'll have him till he's about 36 years old. It is always obviously a big risk when you take on a guy that's already 33, already has played for a number of other teams and logged a ton of innings on that right arm. And that contract, that is the largest extension that we've seen, will take him until he's 36 years old. Again, I preface this, though, Zach Wheeler is one of the best in the business. When it comes time to the time that matters the most in the playoffs, he has been sensational the last 2 or 3 years. But Zach Wheeler lands himself a big old contract extension. As for another free agent, Matt Chapman, Gold Glove third baseman, finally agreed to a 3-year, $54 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. The deal includes an opt-out at every single season. So he has a player option at the end of every single season. But the San Francisco Giants start to fill out that lineup at a third baseman. They added Young-Ho Lee of the Korean Baseball League. That was kind of their big signing to take on the center field role for them. So they add Matt Chapman as well. He'll likely slot somewhere in the middle of that lineup as well as all of those teams in the NL West just try to stay at the pace of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Last year, Chapman, again, more notably known for his defense, one of the best defenders in the game, no doubt about that. Last year, batted .240, had 17 home runs and 54 RBIs. He is 30 years old, going to be 31 in the middle of April. So Matt Chapman, one of the bigger remaining free agents, has found a home in San Francisco, headed from Toronto last year, cross country to the San Francisco Giants. Let's talk a little NBA here. The big news this weekend, LeBron James became the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 points. To put that in perspective, which is pretty crazy, LeBron James has 40,017 total points in his career. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson combined have less than that at 39,498. That is pretty impressive. Listen, I have, and I'll hand up here, I'll be honest. I've been a LeBron hater before. But what is actually very incredible with LeBron, and we talked about it with Tom Brady so often, especially, being based here in New England, the longevity of his career. The fact that he is 39 years old, and he's still playing very meaningful minutes. We very rarely see that, especially in the NBA, where there's so much youth and athleticism coming up, where, you can just be thrown out of the league. Like, we see it so often. Dwight Howard, an MVP, thrown out of the league. He's playing over in China now. DeMarcus Cousins can't get a job. Kemba Walker, great players like that. Just because there's so much youth and so much athleticism coming up into the NBA every year, some of those veteran guys, once you hit your 30s, you just can't keep up anymore. And here LeBron James is at 39 years old, and I'm not going to, go on about this too much because I know here in New England, most people tend to not be huge fans of LeBron James. But the fact that he is still playing, and not only that, still playing at an elite level, still an all-star starter, and deservingly so. It's not just because he's a name brand now. He's still averaging around 25 points per game, still, hitting triple-double numbers. And on top of that game he had last week against the Clippers, where he just absolutely took over in the fourth quarter, said, I'm guarding Kawhi Leonard, took that game in his own hands. It is very impressive. We talked about Tom Brady and how into his 40s he was still playing at an elite level. You have to show that same kind of respect, whether you like him or not, to LeBron James, who is still playing at a very elite level. Now, on the flip side of that, where you want to argue the GOAT debate or whatever it is pretty interesting. LeBron James, while he has the most career points in NBA history, just one time in his career did he lead the league in NBA points per game. Just one time in his career did he achieve a scoring title in the NBA. That is pretty interesting. Meanwhile, Michael Jordan accomplished that feat, the scoring title, single-season scoring title, 10 times in his career. Do with that stat as you wish. But regardless, congratulations to LeBron James. However you chalk it up, however you have it, no doubt about it, one of the greatest to ever play the game of basketball. With that being said, let's talk about one great to another, Caitlin Clark. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark. She is the best offensive college player of all time. She broke the college points record passing Pete Maravich. Absolutely incredible. Did that last week. Her points total is now unmatched in college basketball history. On top of that, what she's done for women's sports, women's college sports, has been incredible. When she broke that record Sunday against Ohio State, that game averaged 3.39 million viewers on Fox. That makes it the most watched regular season women's college basketball game in 15 plus years. It even outdrew the Warriors-Celtics game on that same day. I'm sure that partially has something to do with the fact that the Warriors were never at any point in that game, which we'll get to in a second. We'll get to that in a second. Don't you worry. But Caitlin Clark, congratulations. She is so fun to watch. And on top of that, I did some digging into that because I mentioned it on the show before. If she does end up going to the NBA, WNBA, I said that last week, which she didn't announce. She is going to the WNBA. Whichever team has the number one overall pick, which I now have learned is the Indiana Fever, they just hit the lottery. They honestly did. And on top of that, the Indiana Fever have now had the number one pick in back-to-back drafts. Like last year, they got Aaliyah Boston out of South Carolina, who was great at South Carolina, by the way, and had a good year, first year in the WNBA last year. I'm going to end up taking a future on the Indiana Fever because that's how good I think Caitlin Clark is. She's someone who immediately comes and turns pro, and I forget about like rookie of the year. I think she'll be an MVP candidate the second she lands in the WNBA. She is that good. She is that fun to watch. Single-handedly taking an Iowa program that really didn't have much to speak of in terms of their college basketball success in men's or women's, and single-handedly, I don't want to say single-handedly because it is a team sport, but it has a lot to do with her, the fact that Iowa is now ranked third in the nation and only has four losses to their record on the season. That is the Caitlin Clark effect. She has been spectacular, leads college women's basketball Division I in points per game and in assists per game and in three-pointers made per game. She has just been incredible. So you got to just clap it up for Caitlin Clark. She has been outstanding. So congratulations to LeBron. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark. Two records broken in the same weekend in basketball. But as I mentioned, we got to discuss the Boston Celtics because, yes, I gave Caitlin Clark her flowers. She's incredible, an absolute role model. And she's awesome. Can't say enough about her. But a big reason why that Ohio versus Iowa women's college basketball game outrated the Celtics versus Golden State was because, well, it was an absolute blowout. Golden State just did not come to play whatsoever on Sunday against the Boston Celtics. On top of that, the Seas go on to win this game 140-88. At no point in this game were the Warriors at all in it. The Celtics are the first team in NBA history to win three games by 50-plus points in a single season. Back in November, they beat the Pacers 155-104. Back at the start of February, the game that basically got Jacques Vaughn fired before the All-Star break, they beat the Brooklyn Nets 136-86. And then, of course, this past weekend, the Golden State Warriors 140-88. The Celtics now sit at a plus 11.4 point differential. They currently own the fifth best point differential of all time. Every team above them won the NBA title. Every single team with a better point differential overall in NBA history ended up winning a title. Again, take what you will with that stat, but the Seas playing incredible basketball right now, going into a big game in Cleveland tonight. We'll talk about that in the bold takes. But the Seas have now rattled off 11 straight wins in a row. 11 straight wins in a row. There is some injury sweeping across the NBA right now. No doubt about that as we take a look around the NBA after a busy weekend. Boston, 8 games up on the Milwaukee Bucks, who sit in second place. To put that into perspective, Milwaukee, who sits in second place in the Eastern Conference, is eight games back from the Boston Celtics. Minnesota, who sits in first place in the Western Conference, is 8 games up on the Sacramento Kings. The Kings sit in seventh place in the Western Conference. In the East, Boston up 8 games on the Milwaukee Bucks. Cleveland sits 9 games out. Cleveland's starting to fall a little bit. Donovan Mitchell, they had a little scare with Donovan Mitchell. It is likely that Donovan Mitchell is expected to miss some times as he's dealing with a knee issue. He received a plasma injection yesterday, and he is expected to be out for the next 3 games. So Cleveland having some issues. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They are 9 games back. In fourth is the New York Knicks. They're 12.5 back. But Jalen Brunson dealing with a knee injury that he suffered this past weekend. Right now, they're considering him day-to-day, but it did look like he could miss some time. And the Knicks already dealing with a bunch of injuries. Julius Randle, OG Anunoby already out. The Knicks are 3-7 in their last 10. Sitting in fifth is the Philadelphia 76ers. They're 13 games out, just a half game behind the Knicks. In sixth is the Orlando Magic at 13-5, just a half game behind Philly. That is your top six in the play-in tournament right now. The Miami Heat, who just signed Patty Mills for the rest of the season, veteran guard. The Indiana Pacers sit 15 games out, one behind Miami. Chicago in ninth, in Atlanta in 10th. Atlanta expected to miss Trae Young for a bit, but your play-in tournament right now would be Miami, Indiana, Chicago, and Atlanta. But Miami right behind Orlando, right behind Philadelphia, still in that mix. And by the way, they're 8-2 in their last 10. As for the Western Conference, I mentioned Minnesota, the top dog out there. Sitting behind them is OKC and Denver, just a half game back. Denver has won 6 in a row now. They're starting to play some good basketball. The Clippers sitting 4th, 3 games out. The Clippers dealing with injuries to both Paul George and Russell Westbrook right now. Russ expected to miss a significant amount of time. He's been really, really good for them coming off the bench. And the Clippers now 5-5 in their last 10. New Orleans sits in 5th. They're 6.5 games back, 3.5 behind the Clippers for 4th. And Phoenix rounds out that top 6. They're 7.5 games out. But Devin Booker expected to miss a significant amount of time. So it is going to be the Kevin Durant show over there. In that play-in tournament, Sacramento sits 8 games out, but they're just a half game behind Phoenix for that 6th spot. Dallas sits 8.5 games out, just a half game behind Sacramento. The Lakers sit 9.5 games out, just 1 game behind Dallas. And Golden State, 10 games out. They're expected to get Andrew Wiggins back, who for the second straight year in a row has missed a significant amount of time due to personal and serious matter. It's the second year in a row, that's happened where Wiggins has missed a good chunk of time for listed as a personal family matter. But Golden State rounds out that play-in tournament as Sacramento, Dallas, the Lakers, and Golden State would all be in the play-in tournament if the season ended today. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here, going to come back and try to keep you updated with what's going on in the NFL, all those franchise tags and whatnot, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Big Ticket on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Coastal Foot and Ankle. Dr. Jonathan Saborin is a local foot and ankle specialist with offices in Middletown and Fall River. We are dedicated to caring for all of your foot and ankle issues. Dr. Saborin will diagnose and treat conditions of the foot or ankle, whether it's hammer toes, ingrown toenails, bunions, we've got you covered. Dr. Saborin is a board-certified podiatric surgeon who is a leader in foot and ankle surgery, not only on Aquidneck Island, but throughout Rhode Island and Massachusetts. He does it all with the assistance from his knowledgeable and friendly staff. Give us a call today to schedule an appointment to address your foot health issues. We want our patients to feel heard, cared for, and in good health. Coastal Foot and Ankle will treat you like family because that's what you are, part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family. Call our locally owned and operated podiatric medical facility located at 850 Aquidneck Avenue in the back of the Middletown Commons Plaza, or give us a call to schedule an appointment at 849-2157 and be part of the Coastal Foot and Ankle family.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes and you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-417-0851. 800-417-0851. 800-417-0851. That's 800-417-0851.
In this festive time of year, you know that Seth and the crew will come through with a vast array of timely values at Fifth Ward Liquor. Stop by and see for yourself. Discover Bailey's Irish Cream at $27.99, Jameson 750s at $35.99, and Powers Irish Rye 175s at $39.99. Fifth Ward's stocked with the finest in Irish whiskeys. Proper 12 Irish whiskey is $29.99. Green Spot's in stock, as is Middleton Very Rare and Jameson 18 Year. And here's another great value. Jameson Orange Spritz in 4-packs, just $13.99. You know you can depend on Fifth Ward Liquor for their tried and true trio, selection, service, and savings. Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the Fifth.
Humphreys Building Supply, 1540 WADK, and Mix 99.3 present the Greater Newport Chamber of Commerce Business of the Week.
Luke Renton Entertainment boasts a wide variety of entertainment services that couples, businesses, and private parties can choose from. Whether you need televisions, projectors, uplighting equipment, photo booths, or a complete sound system, Luke should be your first call. Go to lukesent.com for more information.
Think, be, and support local. Start with this business of the week.
At Humphreys Building Supply, they know a thing or two about living and building in Rhode Island. They've been doing it for over 130 years. Their commitment to this community sets them apart from the big box stores. They are here to provide you top quality products and the personal service you've come to expect. So whether you're looking for doors, windows, paint, or are considering a kitchen redesign or an addition to your house, you need to visit one of their locations in Tiverton at 590 Main Road or Middletown at 8 Cottington Highway or Humphreys Paint Center at 750 Aquidneck Avenue. Online at buildwiththeh.com.
WADK gives you the information you need.
If you wait for the newspaper, it's old news. You know, you want to keep up to date.
On air and online.
Everything's online.
WADK.com.
All right, back here on the Big Ticket. Today at 4 p.m., right at the top of the hour here when I kicked off the show, was the deadline in the NFL to franchise tag players. That was the franchise tag deadline. So I got a lot of news I got to keep you updated with here. But overall, a good amount of news across the NFL. So trying to clean this up. I'm going to do the best I can here with a lot of information. But the big news, and since this weekend I was down in the Tampa area, and a lot of people down there were pretty excited about this. The news this weekend was that Mike Evans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did reach an agreement on a two-year, $52 million contract that includes $35 million guarantee. So it is likely that the 30-year-old wide receiver will likely start and end his Hall of Fame career in Tampa Bay. Has not been a season in his career where he has not registered at least 1,000 yards. So Mike Evans staying at home in Tampa Bay. He is headed back to the Buccaneers. There was a lot of speculation that Mike Evans wanted to chase another ring. He wanted to play in another Super Bowl. Clearly, he thinks that Tampa Bay is headed in the right direction. So the veteran wide receiver is staying put. A lot of players, a lot of big-name players that have been released. A lot of big-name players have been released and are planning to be released. One of the biggest is Russell Wilson. He's going to be released by the Buccaneers, the Denver Broncos. And that will mean that the Broncos will take on an NFL record of $85 million in dead money. Yeah, because of that Russell Wilson contract, that is a record-breaking amount of dead money. That's more than the last two dead money records combined, actually. On top of that, you got to start to point the finger a little bit at Broncos GM George Patton. He gave up two first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, a fifth-round pick, and 3 players to get Russell Wilson. He then gave Russell Wilson a new $242 million contract. In return, he got 2 years out of Wilson, back-to-back losing seasons, and that $85 million in dead cap that has to go down as one of the worst trades in NFL history. But Russell Wilson, going to be a free agent, and certainly a lot of speculation as to where he will land. But he has been released by the Denver Broncos. That marriage of him and Sean Payton never seemed like it was healthy. Never seemed like it was too healthy. More releases in the NFL. Again, I'm trying to keep you updated as well as I can. The Dolphins released started linebacker Jerome Baker. The two sides discussed a restructured contract but could not reach an agreement. The Dolphins left the door open for him to come back if he chooses, but Jerome Baker has been released by the Miami Dolphins. On top of that, the Seattle Seahawks clearing out some space in their secondary. Both, not just one, but both of their starting safeties, Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs, have been released by the Seattle Seahawks. The move saves them $27.5 million in money, and obviously opens up some significant cap space for Mike McDonald in a whole new era over there in Seattle post Pete Carroll. As I mentioned, franchise tag period deadline was today at 4. Some notable players that did not get franchise tagged and will become free agents next week. So free agency is set to start next week. And there was a good amount of guys that was kind of shocking, did not get franchise tagged. As I mentioned, that period will begin next week as the league year officially opens up March 13th. That's when free agency will open up. And those players include Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs, Christian Wilkins of the Dolphins, Saquon Barkley, a lot of traction of Barkley possibly joining the Houston Texans, Josh Jacobs, Michael Onua here in New England, Baker Mayfield, Calvin Ridley, and Xavier McKinney. All players that did not get franchise tagged at the deadline, which again was today at 4 p.m. So let's talk about some of those players that did actually get franchise tagged. The Carolina Panthers on Monday placed the franchise tag on edge rusher Brian Burns. That guarantees him $24 million for the upcoming season. No shock there. Brian Burns, one of the better players in that organization. The Jaguars freed up some cap space with some releases of their own. They released Darius Williams and safety Rajon Jenkins, but they also decided to franchise tag Josh Allen. Josh Allen is expected to be franchise tagged. The pass rusher will get a guaranteed $24 million salary again, a news that I think most people expected. Josh Allen was sensational for that Jaguars defense. Another player that was sensational for his given defense, the Baltimore Ravens franchise tag star defensive tackle, Justin Matabuke. Justin Matabuke will stay with the team. Again, this was another move that I think a lot of people did expect would happen. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers used their franchise tag on Antoine Winfield. Their all-pro safety, Antoine Winfield, has been franchise tagged. He will be staying with the team for the upcoming NFL season. The Bears have used their franchise tag on cornerback Jalen Johnson. They still believe that they will get an extension done for the 24-year-old cornerback, but as of right now, they have placed the franchise tag on Jalen Johnson. And speaking of secondary player, the New England Patriots, not the franchise tag, they assigned a transition tag to Kyle Duggar. The transition tag is for $13.8 million, which is the average of the top 10 safeties. Duggars can still sign an offer sheet with another team, and the Patriots would have an opportunity to match that offer. So if the Patriots decline to match any offer, they would not receive any draft pick compensation, but it is not a franchise tag, instead a transition tag for Kyle Duggar. As for a offensive player, the Colts used their franchise tag on wide receiver Michael Pittman, who had a career high last year in receptions and yards. This is one that we expected. Michael Pittman, we knew from Jim Irsay, was not going anywhere, and they give the franchise tag to to Michael Pittman. Again, no shock there. But as it sits right now, that is all the franchise tags I have. Again, I'll do a better job tomorrow, cleaning all this up and keeping you updated on all the extensions and whatnot. Another extension I did not hit on, the Houston Texans trying to keep all of C.J. Stroud's targets around him. They have extended their tight end Dalton Schultz to a 3-year, $36 million contract. 23 and a half of that will be fully guaranteed, but Dalton Schultz coming back to the growing Houston Texans organization. But that is the franchise tags that I got for you. Again, the Patriots utilizing the transition tag on Duggar while letting Michael Anua, offensive lineman, set to hit free agency. So he will be able now to test out free agency. It is worth noting that he terminated his agents late last month and informed all 32 teams that he'll represent himself in negotiations. So one of the better offensive lineman free agents, Michael Anua of the Patriots, set to hit free agency as the Pats give the transition tag, not the franchise tag, to Kyle Duggar. So teams are still able to offer Kyle Duggar an offer sheet, but the Pats can match that. I'll have more updated on this. And again, free agency right around the corner next week, March 13th. That's going to be the start. So we are about to get into it. Should be fun. With that being said, I'm going to hit a break here. I'm going to come back and we're going to wrap up the show with the bold takes. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Big Take on 101.1 FM and AM 1540.
Here's another healthy tip from Newport Hospital.
The Norman Prince Spine Institute at Newport Hospital treats spine disorders that are some of the most complex issues within the human body. At the initial consultation, a physician will conduct a targeted evaluation to determine the source of your pain, then go about formulating a plan to resolve it. Go to goodback.org for more information.
Brought to you by Newport Hospital.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, a local favorite since 1980 and a longtime supporter of Aquidneck Island youth sports programs. The Brick Alley is the 2021 winner as Newport's Best Restaurant, as well as being a past winner of Rhode Island Restaurant of the Year. There's something for everyone at The Brick. Anytime's a great time to do The Brick's famous nacho platters. Their award-winning burgers, steaks, and seafood dishes, and so much more. And just as in the world of sports, teamwork is everything at the Brick Alley. So come on in and see what the incredible team at the Brick can do for you. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant is open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner starting at 11:30 a.m. The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, 140 Thames Street, downtown Newport. A classic dining experience since 1980.
We play by our own rules.
Talk of the Town, Bruce Newberry.
How cool is that?
There's my buddy, Bruce.
Weekday mornings from 9 to noon on 1540 WADK.
Back here on The Big Ticket. In our final segment, so it's time for the Bold Takes, where I take a player, a team, and a stance. My first player tonight is Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas, since his playing days, has oftentimes just made some very strange and crazy and stupid comments. I believe he has a podcast. I'm not 100% like what his platform is. But Gilbert Arenas this week basically said that Europeans are bad for the NBA. He said, and he blamed Europeans basically for the bad defense in the NBA in particular. He said, get rid of Europeans. You go to college to learn defense. What college do Europeans go? So apparently in Europe and overseas, they just don't teach you how to play defense at all, according to Gilbert Arenas. He went on to say, they have no athleticism. That's a hot take. They have no speed, no jumping ability. They are a liability on defense. There are about 150 euros in the league today. Name the top defenders. None. Just Rudy Gobert and the Greek Freak. Other than that, they are offensive players. Listen, like, I don't have all these guys, like all of the non-Americans and Euro players in front of me. But as you just mentioned, like, Rudy Gobert is arguably the best defender in the NBA. And outside of that, Victor Wembanyama, I don't know if you've heard of him. He has been incredible. Like, he is going to win multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards by when it's all said and done. On top of that, yeah, like you just said, the Greek Freak and Marc Gasol also in his career won a Defensive Player of the Year award. Pau Gasol, by the way, was pretty good defensively. Again, like, I don't have all these guys in front of me. Joel Embiid, not originally from America, a very good defensive player. I wish I could, like, list all these guys off. But the fact that you're just saying all Euros are just bad at defense, that is just blatantly not true. Like, I feel like he's just looking at guys like Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic, who, yeah, admittedly so, aren't great defenders. They do other things very, very well. But to just make the blanket statement, like, yeah, all Euros play bad defense, and that's why the rest of the NBA doesn't play defense. Take out all the Euros, and the NBA would, everybody in the NBA would play defense again. Like, nope, I don't think that's true. Like, you basically, this past week, had a direct comment from Damian Lillard on the Pat Beverly podcast, where he was just like, yeah, I pick and choose when I play defense. Like, when I want to play defense, I can't do it. Damian Lillard is American. You have a lot of those guys, like LeBron James picks and chooses when he plays defense. Like, in that fourth quarter against the Clippers, as I mentioned, he guarded Kawhi. He made an effort, but usually he's pretty lackadaisical. The blanket statement of all Euros are bad at defense, that's just crazy. And you think that college hoops is what teaches you defense? You don't think that Euro leagues teaches you defense whatsoever? That's pretty crazy, Gilbert Arenas. I can't get behind that stance. Gilbert Arenas, my first player tonight. My second player tonight is Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel took to Twitter this week and he said, after careful thought and consideration, I will humbly be removing myself from the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. It doesn't sit right with my morals and values that he can't be on the stage with us every year. Reggie is the Heisman Trophy. Do the right thing, NCAA. The ball is in your court. It is still crazy to me that Reggie Bush you know, isn't recognized as a Heisman, that he got his trophy taken away from him, because back then it was illegal to, you know, make money off your name, which now you have these NCAA athletes making millions and millions of dollars. And meanwhile, Reggie Bush, because he played in a different time, gets his Heisman taken away. Like, the fact that he took bribes and made money off his name in college doesn't change how good he was. Like, it's not like he was using steroids and cheating that way. He was still an incredible player. It's crazy to me that his Heisman trophy was vacated from him. That is absolutely wild, and I respect Johnny Manziel's opinion on that one. On top of that, this week he also said, you're not truly considered an NFL bust until you officially retire. Do with that as you wish. Johnny Manziel has never officially retired, so you can't consider him yet, at least, an NFL bust. But I do agree with Johnny Manziel, and I like that. He's making it known, and he's like putting it out there that the fact that, like, people forget the fact that Reggie Bush has his Heisman vacated is crazy. He had one of the best college seasons of all time. The things he did at USC was incredible. He was absolutely electric. On top of that, you really don't see many non-quarterbacks win the Heisman. There's just a handful of them. So that's how special Reggie Bush was. I appreciate Johnny Manziel shedding light on that, and I absolutely agree with him, especially when you've got guys like Caleb Williams last year made like $5 million in the NCAA off his name. And yet, you punish Reggie Bush because of that? Because he was playing at a different time period? Come on now, that's crazy. Johnny Manziel, my second player tonight. My third player tonight is Nick Castellanos, because this weekend in a spring training game for the Phillies, Nick Castellanos goes yard. And his son Liam at the time was serving as the bat boy for the Philadelphia Phillies. So Castellanos rounds the bases, gets to home plate, and he still sees his bat sitting basically in the on deck there, right at home plate in the batter's box. And he stops right at home plate, points at the bat, throws his hands up, pointing at his son like, what the hell? Why is this bat still here? And his son runs out, grabs the bat. But I love to see that. Before a player, he is a dad. A dad first, player second. It was pretty funny to see. Like, listen, I don't care if you're cheering me on. You still got to do your job. Do your job at an early age. I love to see it. Even while playing in an actual game, Castellanos, still a dad first. Nick Castellanos, my first player tonight. My second player tonight, adding on to kind of what we were talking about with Golden State versus Boston, Steve Kerr is my fourth player tonight. Steve Kerr, what was one thing really blatant about that Golden State versus Boston game? They basically, Golden State, were just baiting Jaylen Brown to shoot the ball. They were essentially playing Jaylen Brown like he was Russell Westbrook and couldn't shoot a three. They were playing off him, and Jaylen Brown made them pay. He went 5-for-10 from beyond the arc, 11 of 19 from the field, and 29 total points. They just were leaving him wide open. Steve Kerr talked about the decision to sag off Jaylen Brown, and he said, you try different things. You have to pick your matchups. The kind of disrespect that Jaylen Brown gets across the NBA is pretty crazy to me. He is still one of the most athletic players in the league and one of the best players in the league. He gets so much disrespect. And Steve Kerr, listen, this is the guy who just won Coach of the Month. I do feel like he is a very good coach. But you to basically say, oh, we have to make some tough decisions when you play like a team like the Celtics. They have so many weapons. Yeah, Jaylen Brown wouldn't be one of those weapons that I would, you know, try to bait into shooting. I would kind of leave that to like Drew Holiday or Derek White. Let them kill me. Not a guy like Jaylen Brown who is an all-star. That was incredibly disrespectful, and Jaylen Brown commented on it, and he said more teams should take this strategy, basically saying, yeah, leave me wide open, and I'll show you how good I am. I love to see that. As I mentioned, Steve Kerr won Coach of the Month in February. On top of that, Eric Spoelstra won Coach of the Month in the Eastern Conference. Eric Spoelstra went 8-3 in the month of February. Meanwhile, Joe Mazzulla went 9-1. Went 9-1. On top of that, he had a plus 15.7 net rating. And when they played the Miami Heat in February, they blew the Heat out, and he outcoached Eric Spoelstra in that game. So that was crazy to me that Eric Spoelstra wins Coach of the Month over Joe Mazzulla. I know it's pointless and stupid, but pretty crazy to me, personally. Fifth player tonight? My fifth player tonight, I guess, is Arch Manning. Arch Manning, obviously at the Texas Longhorns, he could have a shot of actually playing this year. The Texas Longhorns redshirt quarterback Arch Manning will not opt into EA Sports College Football 25. They're bringing back college football. They're paying all these guys $600 to opt in, and so you can use the names for this video games. Everybody's really excited to have the college football video game back. It's pretty cool. It hasn't been around for like the past decade or so. And the reasoning for Arch not wanting to opt into being on EA Sports, kind of similar to like what Bill Belichick did every year, just not wanting to be on Madden. Like if you play Madden, back in the early, and even as, you know, recently as last year, when it says coach for the Patriots, it would just say New England coach. It wouldn't have Belichick's name because he always opted out. But Arch Manning said the reason he's not opting into the EA Sports College Football 25 is because Arch is focused on playing football on the field. Like, just relax, buddy. You're a college kid. Like, don't try to do this like zig when everybody else zags. Like, you can still focus on the game while just saying, yeah, you can use my name in college football. Like, you can use my name in the video game. Such a stupid reasoning to be like, I don't want my name in the video game because I'm just focused on the game on the field. It doesn't matter if you don't play video games. Just collect the free $600 for literally doing nothing. Literally doing nothing at all. Just saying, yeah, you can use my name. Fine, whatever. Like, just relax, buddy. Okay? That was just a headline grab for him. So Arch Manning, my fifth, sixth, something like that player tonight. My final player tonight is Dan Gorski. This is my obscure story of the night. Dan Gorski is a 70-year-old man who holds the Guinness Book of World Records for consuming the most McDonald's Big Macs in a lifetime. He's 70 years old, and like from the pictures, he doesn't look like he's in bad shape. Like, he's not obese or anything like that. Pretty crazy. In 2023 alone, he ate an additional 728 Big Macs, extending his record. Despite the high calorie content of each burger, Gorski claims to have had no health issues and maintains a healthy weight and cholesterol level. I'm calling BS on the cholesterol level, at least. He does look like he maintained a heavy weight, which is crazy. Like, the fact that he has a healthy weight after eating all that is crazy. He credits his mother for allowing him to indulge. Thanks, Mom, for letting me eat like garbage. He credits his mother for allowing him to indulge in his Big Mac obsession after years of eating one non-Big Mac meal per day. Gorski's journey with Big Macs began over 50 years ago, and he meticulously records each one he consumes, keeping all the containers and receipts as evidence of his feat. The last part is really strange. Really, really strange. Like, imagine going to your buddy's house and he's just got thousands of Big Mac containers with all the receipts. That is the strangest things to, like, keep track of. Of, like, out of all the things, 50 years ago, you made the conscientious effort to keep track of every single burger you got from McDonald's? That's ludicrous. That's crazy misbehavior. Anybody who does things like this has a little bit of psycho in them. You can't convince me otherwise. On top of that, like, McDonald's has a big menu. You don't want to try anything else? Like, try new things, man. Sure, you like McDonald's, fine, whatever, but, like, they have other things. Have you tried the McChicken? Like, try some new things. This is the weirdest, and, like, what a weird brag to have. Like, imagine meeting a guy and him being like, yeah, guess what? World record holder here over here. Most Big Macs ever in a lifetime. Like, that's not a cool flex. Who's going to be impressed by that? That is the weirdest thing. And just the ending of that where he keeps all of the containers? Why? Why? Like, you must have a room in your house full of these containers that just constantly smells like a nasty, stale McDonald's. That's disgusting. That is disgusting. Dan Gorski, cool, I guess. I guess. I don't really know what to say there. But he is my final player tonight. All right, my teams tonight, I got some all road dogs parlay for you. First, tonight, I'm taking the Boston Celtics -7.5 going up against Cavaliers, keeping that win streak alive. The Cavaliers tonight are giving away Kelce brother bobbleheads to everyone who attends the game. Also, I failed to mention when talking about the NFL, Jason Kelce retired. Congratulations to him. 7 Pro Bowls. Great player for Philly. But yeah, as I mentioned, the Kelce brothers never played for Cleveland teams. Like, I understand they're originally from the Ohio area and stuff, but they've never played for the Cleveland Browns or any Cleveland teams. They went to Cincinnati in college. Cool, but kind of a weird move by the Cavaliers tonight to give out Kelce brother bobbleheads. Like, why? They never played for any of your teams. Weird move. I'm going Celtics tonight, -7.5. There's going to be no Donovan Mitchell tonight for the Cavs. That's on TNT tonight. The late game on TNT, a West Coast matchup of the Nuggets at home, welcoming in the Phoenix Suns. As I mentioned, no Devin Booker for Phoenix. It's going to be on KD to keep this thing afloat. KD has to give me MVP numbers these next couple of weeks to keep the Suns afloat in a very hectic Western Conference. I'm going to go Suns tonight at +8.5 with the points on the road against the Nuggets. I'm going Suns +8.5. That's the late game on TNT. And then my bonus game tonight in some Big East matchup, Providence. I'm taking them -8.5 in Georgetown, against Georgetown. Georgetown comes into this one at 9-20. Providence at 18-11. Providence right now kind of considered a fringe team for the March Madness later on this month. They got to win all these games for the rest of the season. And on top of that, make Ed Cooley regret it. Make him feel the pain. Beat Ed Cooley tonight. Make it personal. I'm going PC tonight. -8.5 on the road. That all road parlay. I'm taking the Boston Celtics. -7.5. The Phoenix Suns. +8.5. And the Providence College Providence College Friars. -8.5. Lock that parlay in. Get yourself some walking around money and support those local businesses. All right, my stance tonight. I saw something online this past week, which was the average ticket prices, the top five average ticket prices for all four of the major sports leagues in the NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB. And in all four cases, New England sports were in the top five for most expensive tickets. They were fifth in the NFL. The average ticket price for a Patriots game is $534. In the NHL, they also ranked fifth. The average price for a Bruins game, the highest ticket prices. Those are not average, highest. Highest ticket prices. In the NBA, they're fourth with the C's. And in the MLB, which is crazy, they are second. The Red Sox are second in ticket prices, just behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers are so much better of a team than the Red Sox. That one is the most crazy of them all. That one has to be the most crazy of them all. It's just annoying. I mean, I know we have great teams to root for, minus the Red Sox. I'm still not out on the Patriots. I still think, you know, this the up and coming of a new, hopefully, dynasty, we'll have to see. But that's just annoying. That's just an annoying fact. I'm sorry I shared that with all of you. A cool fact is Jason Tatum just being a good dad. Drew Hanlon, my second stance tonight here. Drew Hanlon, who is a notable NBA trainer. He's a guy that in the offseason a lot of NBA stars go to. And he had a comment on a podcast this past week that there's so many times where Jason Tatum and I are over here talking about Deuce's development plan as a five-year-old. So Drew Hanlon, shed light that Jason Tatum is already talking about Deuce's development and how they're going to ramp him up in his like training and building his basketball game up. Can the Celtics draft Deuce this year? Can you buy stock? Is it weird to buy stock in a five-year-old? Because Deuce Tatum, they're already talking about like what he's going to be doing each year in terms of training for basketball. This kid, by the time he's 16, is going to be nasty. So like, I want to buy stock in Deuce Tatum right now because I already am willing to bet he's going to be a great NBA player. He's got it in his genes. But with that being said, that is going to do it for me here in the studio. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Same time as always. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You've been listening to The Big Ticket with Teddy Horn on 101.1 FM, AM 1540, and WADK.com. Have yourself a phenomenal night.
WADK Newport, powered by BD Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Tiverton. WADK, the voice of Newport.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Voters across 16 states holding presidential and down-ballot races on this Super Tuesday. Donald Trump looking to continue his sweep against Nikki Haley. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
Trump's only remaining rival, Nikki Haley, making one last stand, telling voters the